Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's media partner is Dead Sea Mineral Makeup. Beautiful mineral makeup that not only gives you flawless coverage, but also treats your skin all day long with pure Dead Sea minerals straight from the Dead Sea. Don't just use makeup, use Dead Sea Mineral Makeup. Visit DeadSeaMineralMakeup.com for more information. Well, as you know, I've been keeping you up to date here at Indie Business Radio on our efforts to fight the FDA Globalization Act of 2008. And along those lines, I'm excited to introduce my guest Indie co-host today. She is IBN member Lisa Rogers, the owner of Cactus and Ivy in South Carolina. Lisa's going to tell us a little bit about her business and also catch you up on our conference call last week with a staffer from a senator in her home state. Lisa Rogers, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Hi, thanks, Donna Marie. I'm glad to be here.
Lisa, tell us a little bit about your business and how the Globalization Act of 2008 will affect you if it is enacted.
Well, I started Cactus and Ivy 8 years ago after leaving a very stressful micromanaged sales job. And when I created this company, I was looking for a way to create products that were not along the lines of the big box, see on all the shelves, they're all the same. I wanted something better for myself and my family. And I really believed that this FDA Globalization Act would impact me in ways that I probably had not considered in the beginning, because when you hear about things that may pass through that will hurt the small business person, you don't actually think about all of the hard work at the beginning at what you had done to accomplish where you are with your business. And the fees that are associated with this discussion draft are probably the biggest change in my mind, because I'm already paying a great deal out to be in business. I do have, I invested in a label printer, which unfortunately has decided to take the day off, but it's UPC code, it's raw materials go up with the change of price and gas. I thankfully have a liability insurance through IBN, which I can't thank you enough for pulling together for the members, because I am sure that I am not the only member who is ecstatic at having this opportunity to be able to have this insurance coverage at such a great rate. And I have to thank you again for working so hard on pulling that together.
Well, I'm glad it's benefiting you. And when you talk about fees, Lisa, for people who don't know, how much in fees might your business have to pay annually if this law goes into effect?
It's anywhere from $2,000 to $12,000. It's just crazy for me to think that, according to this discussion draft, if a company who sources a particular ingredient is going to have to pay the $2,000 to be able to sell that ingredient, and then I am buying it from my supplier, I'm not quite sure I understand why I would have to actually pay the $2,002 when, in fact, that supplier had already paid the $2,000 to be able to sell that ingredient. And then, on top of that, if I get my shea butter, which I do from Africa, it could be as much as $10,000. I mean, you just, it's crazy to think that the small business person could even think of staying in business with these costs, because there's a lot of people, when I first started out, when I made a profit of $4,000 my first year, I was ecstatic, because I couldn't believe that I actually created something that was working for my clients, and that they actually liked what I was creating. I was still in that slump of, I've been a sales rep most of my life, and the thought of creating something instead of working for someone else who created it was really astounding. And to be able to provide my customers with a product that is, in my mind, better for you because it's made with natural ingredients. I follow all of the guidelines by the FDA for labeling. I am completely honest on my website and our labels as to what's in our product. I've got absolutely nothing to hide. I have been following the rules, and now here we have $2,000 to $12,000 that we may have to come out of pocket for. And you know, if you only make $4,000 right now, that's just, you can't do it. It's not feasible.
Well, we're certainly going to do our best to stop it, and so that small businesses can start and have a chance to grow like yours has. Now, Lisa, you're not just talking about this; you're actually taking action. And we had a conference call last week with a staffer in a senator's office in your state. Tell us a little bit about how you set that up and how that call went.
Well, I have the same type of dogged persistence as you do, and when you ask for the IBN members to reach out there and make contact, do what you can to make people aware of this discussion draft. I went ahead, went online, found the senators, congressmen in my state, and just began emailing them on their website over the weekend, and just basically told them, this is what's going on. I supplied them with a letter that you had emailed me. Because, of course, as you could probably tell right now, I'm not very skilled in the ways of correct verbiage, I guess, when it comes to talking about politics, because I make soap for a living. I have absolutely no interest in being the political side of it, but I am coming to these individuals as the actual person who would be affected by this bill if it were to go through. And when I contacted Senator DeMint's office, I received a phone call 2 days later, and Casey Lewis, who is his staffer for Trade and Commerce, said, we appreciate you contacting us. Let us know if there's anything else we can do. Feel free to call me. And that's all they had to say. I was back on the email because the number that I had off of caller ID wasn't a direct line. So I emailed them. I said, okay, I'm ready. You want to help? Here's what we need. And they immediately called me back, and we arranged the meeting. And I am really, really happy that Casey Lewis took the time to meet with both of us, because she was very enlightened, in my opinion. I think she was rather shocked at the fact that the fees could range from $2,000 to $12,000, and that the small business person would basically be eaten up by this.
Right, and it's so great that you summarized what you did, because anyone can do this. You went on the internet, you sent an email, and you got a response back that said, let us know if there's anything you can do. And you quickly wrote back and said, well, there is something. You can have a conference call meeting with us and someone in your staff who understands small business and can inform the congressperson or the senator about this. And it was, what was it like, within 48 hours, we were on the phone for a 20-25 minute conference call, made our points, sent our follow-up materials by email and mail, and that was it.
Yeah, it was so easy. It was actually really exciting, because I was anticipating the call to be kind of more neutral, that Casey would listen to us, take down our points, and you know, say, make contact at a later date. But she was very receptive, in my opinion. She asked a lot of questions, which you gave her the answers to, and she was still astounded by the fact that small business in the cosmetic industry will be no more if this bill passes.
Right, right. And so what a great example of being able to use the internet, which we're going to be talking about today in our show when our guest expert on social media joins us. But what a great way to show people how easy it is to use the internet. And I'll just remind everybody that our public servants have set up email forms and all kinds of ways for us to be able to contact them on the internet. And, of course, you know, usually the first time you get a response back, it's going to be a form response, and that's okay, because as long as it ends with, let us know what else we can do to help, then you have a response. All I need is 15 or 20 minutes of your time. And I can tell you that it would be very difficult for a congressperson or a senator not to make a staffer available to talk with us about issues on the phone for 15 or 20 minutes. It's a great way to use technology. Now, Lisa, before we end our first segment and we welcome our social media expert, Larry Weber, I want you to tell us a little bit about your product and where we can go to learn more about them and purchase them.
Well, Cactus and Ivy, we create natural spa and body products. We originally started as a wholesale company supplying to high-end spas and resorts. And the retail location, which is cactusandivy.com, and that is all spelled out as the one word. You can buy our products online. It ranges from lip balms to body scrubs. We have a foot balm that's packaged in a deodorant container so you don't have to actually use your hands to apply it to your feet. We offer soaps, lotions, massage oils, nail balm. We do a reed diffuser for home fragrance, only due to the fact that candle insurance has become outrageously high. So we're looking for alternatives to offer home fragrance, and that was one of the options that we had. But we really enjoy making our products. We've been doing it for 8 years. I would not sell anything to the general public that I would not put on my family and friends who happen to be my testers, and they're all alive and still kicking.
Right, right. Well, that's great. So we can check you out at Cactus and Ivy, CactusAndIvy.com, and find out more. And I just want to thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing a little bit about your business and also how this law, if it's enacted, would impact you. There are hundreds of Indie Beauty Network members that are situated exactly the way you are in all 50 states. And also, there are thousands of companies that are not members of the Indie Beauty Network, but I hope they will join IBN and help us make our arguments. But there are so many companies out there that are similarly situated to you that will be affected by this. And you and all the other Indie Beauty Network members and me, of course, and, of course, the business owners who accompanied me to Capitol Hill last week that did such a great job articulating our point to the Energy and Commerce Committee, as well as to staffers in Senator Kerry's office, to the FDA, and also staffers in Representative Jesse Jackson Jr.'s office. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining. We are going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Larry Weber. He is a social media expert and also the author of a book that I think is great. It's entitled Marketing to the Social Web, and we'll be talking with him about how to use the internet and social media to grow your business. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Indie Business Radio. I'm Donna Maria, of course, and I am here this afternoon with a wonderful, knowledgeable expert in the area of social media. Our guest today is Larry Weber. He is the chairman of the Digital Influence Group. Larry is an expert in public relations and marketing. He is also a frequent speaker on the future of marketing, the social web, and building online communities. Larry is the author of Marketing to the Social Web, How Digital Customer Communities Build Your Business. We'll take your questions and comments. Do join us, 800-773-0355, or you can email your question to info@indiebusinessradio.com. Larry, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Great to be here, Donna.
Well, tell us a little bit, Larry, about your background and how you came to be an expert in this particular industry. I'm assuming at some point in the past you had like a traditional job, 9-to-5 thing, and now you're doing your own thing. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Well, many years ago, I sort of was like a lot of people. I graduated from liberal arts and had an English degree and went on to get a master's degree in literature and couldn't get a job. So I started working, and a company or people said, you'd be good at marketing. So I started to be a real student of media, and got, you know, quickly put in the public relations business. And I didn't stop my, you know, desire to understand media. And I kept working hard at trying to, you know, see where the media was going. And I studied newspapers, I studied radio, I studied television, and then I started working with technology companies and in the early 80s, and was lucky enough, just by serendipity, to meet people at MIT who had recruited a young British researcher named Tim Berners-Lee. And he's the man that developed the World Wide Web, basically the software that went on top of the ARPANET, now obviously called the Internet.
That's a
helpful and, accent, right? Yes. And it was just a moving experience, because I realized that communication was going to change forever. And so with media, and this was about 1993. And, you know, I started to watch and build a business around marketing, the Internet, and the way media was changing. And it's really only been, you know, 14, 15 years, so we're still in the early phases. I like to say we're in the fourth phase of the web. But it's only beginning to have the amazing impact that it's going to have on all of our lives, as well as our business lives, our personal lives, and it's going to be the closest thing to real life that we have. So you can't view the web anymore as a channel. But anyway, that's how I got here, and working with technology companies, the Internet founders themselves, and then bringing the aspect of studying media and how it's changing, because I, like a lot of listeners, I have three teenagers, and they've not one of them has ever picked up a newspaper, but they seem very well informed and get their news and their information from a different set of sources. And you only have to look at the Obama campaign, whether you want to vote for him or not, to see how he's changing the way people access information, get information, and move things around.
Now, Larry, in your book, Marketing to the Social Media, you started off by saying this: learning to market to the social web requires learning a new way to communicate with an audience in a digital environment. So, that summarizes what your book does. It helps people learn to do that. So tell us a little bit, Larry, about, you know, the kind of mindset that small business owners, indie business owners need to have in order to maximize the social media outlets that your book talks about.
Right. Let me just tell Don a small story about a young man that explains where the media and marketing is going, and then we can go and dive down into some of the details of how small business can help. And I know there's a lot of health and beauty listeners. There's a lot of examples in that category, but this just happens to be a sporting category. I had a friend in California, still do, who is an investment banker, and he had a son named Josh, and like a lot of hardworking people, he would now and then send out a email about Josh's accomplishments. And we got one, about 6 years ago, that he had gotten into Berkeley, a great school, and we all said, oh, isn't that wonderful? And a side note to everybody, you know, during while Josh was growing up, his dad would take him fishing 1 week a year to bond with him, and they'd get together and just go to one place somewhere up in northern Idaho, and they'd explore things. And, you know, to make a long story short, what happened about 2 years into his college, his dad sent an email. He was sort of depressed that Josh decided to major in film. And, of course, we all said, you got to let a kid follow their bliss and blah, blah, blah. 2 years later, he graduates, and he says to his dad, I'm going to go fishing for the summer. And his dad said, well, that's okay, but you got to come back. I think I can get you an internship at an investment bank. And Josh said, you know, I'm really not really into that, Dad, but I have an idea. And so Josh went fishing, but about 4 months later, his dad said, it's really time to get a real job. And he said, no, Dad, you know, I'm really on to something. And his dad said, what's that, Josh? And he said, well, the last 4 months I've been filming people that fish up here and getting their tips and where they get their bait and what kind of equipment they buy, where they rent their boats, where they, you know, go to stay at a hotel or a motel or a bed and breakfast, where they eat. And guess what, Dad? We're up to 100,000 unique visitors, and L.L. Bean wants to give me $1 million to underwrite the chat area. So,
wow.
you start to see in a very clear and common sense way that there's a way to micro-segment content that's going to be very impactful in the future on commerce and small business. And that's the story, you know, but I'd like to, you know, begin to give advice to people that if they haven't dipped their toe into, you know, marketing to the social web or understanding the social web, but they should understand the landscape first. And that's very easy to do by just Googling for some leading health and beauty blogs. Start to read them, understand them. You can go to a site called Technorati, where you can actually find out what the leading blogs are or the leading e-communities. You see which are the most populated, where are the most vibrant, what have the most validity. And this is a 24/7 type of business, but it levels the playing field, see, because people now can compete against large companies because we're all media and we all have access to the same audiences.
Right, right. And your book, Larry, that's a great story, by the way, and it shows that everybody needs to be aware of this. And your book lays out 7 steps to helping people build customer communities. I want to go through each one of those briefly. Your first is to observe and create a customer map. What is that?
Right. Well, what you first have to do is what I was just alluding to, is you really need to understand the landscape of the web per what you want to do. So, example, if you want to sell organic cosmetics, you've got to understand where people are going right now around organic cosmetics. So, you know, you can do that easily, again, by checking Technorati, by Googling, by going to places like blogher.com, which is a fascinating, fast-growing site that actually aggregates women's blogs, and all the members vote on the more popular ones in categories like health or beauty or that. So it's really, really learning before you dive in, understanding the size of the pool, where the most interests are, what people are doing and talking, so you can start observe where your potential customers are going. Where are they aggregating? What are they talking about? So it's almost like a new form of market research, but it's more qualitative in nature, not quantitative necessarily. So you sort of have to understand what's happening in the kitchen before you you start, you know, the second process.
Okay, good. So you've got and anybody who doesn't do that and just tries to jump in without understanding what's going on, what's the danger of not doing that, just jumping in without knowing?
Well, it's happening all the time. People say, oh, I need to do a podcast. And so they'll do a podcast, but nobody comes and listens to it or downloads. So the biggest thing is you're missing your audience, you know, what they're thinking about, what they're talking about. So you can shape your comments and your stories and your site and the things that come out from you to match what people are doing on the other places. So it's about a dialogue. Marketing is dialogue now. It's no longer this intrusion type of advertising. It's got to have a give and take, a back and forth. And so the danger is being out of touch with what people are really looking for online, you know.
Right. And your second step, which follows logically from that, is recruiting community members. What does that mean, Larry?
Right. Well, how you build a community is, again, you just don't set up shop and you know, hope everybody comes. You know, the proverbial Snoopy lemonade stand, you know, and you hope people come. It just doesn't happen on the web. What you have to do is you have to go to other people's places. And what I would tell small businesses is, you know, don't go everywhere. Even though this might look overwhelming to you on the web, you need to analyze, again, 10, 15, maybe 20 sites that where your customers are aggregating and where they're talking. So these are not sites that you're running or you own or you're trying to do, but you're trying to be a participant in those communities. If you then participate in those places, in those blogs, those e-communities, you know, and you're open, you're transparent, you're upfront of who you are and what you're doing, and people, the community starts to get to know you, you can easily then recruit them back to your place by saying, hey, look, you know, there's a link and we have new interesting information. There's a new blog post that I've started, you know, a video blog on organic cosmetics or whatever topic it is. And they aren't going to feel like, you know, you're selling them because you've already been a respected member of their communities. So
yeah.
you can go back and forth and work that way, and that's how communities get built. And
it makes it so much fun too. I mean, you have a business, yes, but you're sharing information that not only substantiates your expertise in a particular area, Larry, but which also is just fun.
Yeah. It's totally fun because it's something that you're comfortable in talking about. And, you know, you're allowed to have opinions and you're allowed to have a point of view. That's what, you know, life is about. And, you know, so you can make it fun. You can disagree with some people. You can agree with others. But you have a point of view and you start to shape your presence then online to create an expertise and an understanding of leadership in the category that you have. And I think it's just really cool.
And your third point is to evaluate 4 online conduit strategies. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you have to understand which strategies are going to work better for the kind of products or the kind of services that you're offering. So I argue that, you know, blogging is one of the more important ones because I see it as evolving and self-editing into almost like the newspaper industry did over 200 years. And it's, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but in places like Boston in the early 1800s, there were 45 newspapers. Now, how come there were 45 newspapers? It was because there was each community had its own little, discussion, you know, Cambridge or Charlestown or whatever, and similar to other major cities in the United States. And those all self-edited down or were bought to be able to create more powerful aggregated media. So what I use that example is because to understand that the blogosphere isn't just this one big mass of information, that it's self-editing. We're getting the 10 or 15 most important blogs in specific categories. So you've got to understand how blogs are going to affect the way you're out into that community or you're blogging yourself. And it's very easy to start blogging, but you've got to do it from a base of understanding of what's already out there and doing it. So other things would be things like podcasting or video casting and how you create microsites and things that are content rich because
right.
It's content that's going to pull this. And then social networks. How do you use a Facebook? You don't use it like Coca-Cola did with my daughter who just out of the blue said, "Do you want to be my friend, Coca-Cola?" And she and all her friends just made fun of Coca-Cola.
You've got to pick the one that works for you. And Larry, this is a really good time to mention and to ask you questions about what you think about, you know, targeting. I mean, you can't just, you know, throw spaghetti at the wall and hope that some of it sticks. You have to put some effort into it or else people will be laughing at you like your daughters were laughing at Coke.
Correct. You have to really understand the metaphors before you do it. You know, I liken it, if there's any listeners that have done traditional marketing or advertising or anything, you know, there's this thing called the dance card, you know, and it's like if you're going to advertise in Cosmopolitan, you know, there's a beautiful fancy folder. There's even one online you can look at that says, here's the average age of our reader, here's their average income, here's where they live, here's their behavior, et cetera, et cetera, and that becomes a very targeted platform. Well, you've got to do the same thing right now on your own in the social web. You have to understand, you know, who's reading Daily Candy or who's going to iVillage or, you know, what are they doing at drugstore.com about beauty and health, and is it working? So you have to understand that kind of landscape, and then you're going to be very easy to target your discussions and dialogue and your links and your search engine strategies, which is another conduit, you know, both paid search and organic search, which is, again, you know, people are searching more every day. In fact, the fastest growing users of search engines are 50 and over. Which is amazing. And what are they searching on? Health. They're searching on beauty. They're searching on prescription side effects, etc.
None of that with Indie Beauty Network members. So Larry, you mentioned 4 conduits, and you talked about blogs, you talked about social networks, and I want to make sure we cover the last 2, reputation aggregators and e-communities. Briefly describe what those are.
Yeah, reputation aggregators is my fancy name for search engines. So Google, MSN, you know, Yahoo, These are sites that actually aggregate reputations, and there's two ways to come up in there. One is to buy some certain keywords, and those are obviously all the things that appear on the right side of your Google page. But other things is people don't know the simplest thing about adding fresh content on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Just on a weekly basis, you add, a short blog post, or you add a little video or something, that takes you up hundreds of places in the organic search because you've added new content to those aggregators. So now, without even spending any money, you're going up in the middle part of Google. So that's what I mean by the reputation aggregators. And the e-communities are simply what I would, I'm sure some of your listeners have been on a place like iVillage or eHarmony or
they're kind of like discussion group forums,
right? And they're highly organized e-businesses. I mean, I argue eBay is an e-community, all right? So it actually stands for something. That's for the barter and trading of items. eBay. eHarmony's for long-lasting relationships. iVillage is for women's issues and things that are interesting to women. So Blogger is a new I call it e-community that sort of melds blogging with e-community.
That's a really good one too. We're going to go to our break. We're talking with Larry Weber, and he is laying out his 7 steps to building customer communities. We've got a couple more to cover after our break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about The Future of Talk Radio today.
Donna Maria, we are back on Indie Business Radio with the author of Marketing to the Social Web, How Digital Customer Communities Build Your Business. And that author would be Larry Weber. He is an expert on social media, and he is taking us through his 7 steps to building customer communities. We have covered the first 4, and Larry, we're going to move on to measuring the community's involvement. Now, why is that important, and how do you do it?
Well, first, it's huge because if you believe, like I do, that the definition of marketing today is the influence of opinion through content. And that can be fun content, it can be serious content. But, that's what marketing is about today. And you have to be able to measure that and move. So I argue in the book that we're actually moving away from giant quantitative measurements. So there were 10,000 people on our site, Well, that doesn't matter if they didn't buy anything or they didn't engage in anything. So I argue that they have to help you shape the content that keeps them coming, and that we have to measure things, and there's loads of tools that can do this. Some of the companies I can give later on if people want to know. But, you measure the tone of conversation, the length of time people are staying. Where are they going on the site? What are they doing? Who are they sharing with? What content do they most like? It's almost like if you go to some of the popular media sites right now, like MSNBC, they'll have the 5 most talked about or downloaded news stories. The same thing can happen to your site. So are people really, really want to know about skincare, after being sunburned? These are just coming in my mind right now. But, it's measuring the tone, the length, the downloads, not just the amount of people, but the quality of the conversation. That's what has to be done, and it's easily measurable online with certain software tools that are not scary, that that you can access, that can that give you reports. Technorati has even a deeper side to it, that you can a service that can give you tone of conversation, content that's happening, and there's others like that. So that's what I mean by that.
That's great. So give us one of those places where we can go to measure. I think you said there were several. Can you just name one or two?
Yeah, I would go to compete.com is one. I would go to Technorati. I would go to Radian 7, R-A-D-I-A-N, 7.com. There's three that are downloadable, inexpensive tools.
Excellent, excellent. And then our next step to building a customer community is to promote your community to the world. That sounds like a good step.
Well, that's where I was talking about. It's sort of part two of when we started way back in the early, Donna, of our conversation about learning the landscape and, you know, maybe giving some opinions on other people's sites or blogs or, you know, going to some of the other chat areas or maybe posting some things on a bulletin board, et cetera. This step is after you've now really built your platform, your community, and it's how you start to shape that, and then you've got to promote the content you have. One of my greatest examples doesn't happen to be, you know, beauty and cosmetics right now, but I was the other night I was on Amazon. .com for about an hour and a half. I mean, your listeners are probably saying, well, this guy needs to get a life. But, you know, I bought some things, but what they've started to do, if anybody has noticed, is they start to have started to have videos of authors, and, you know, there was a Q&A video with John Updike, a famous American writer that I listened to, and so I started getting really involved in the content, and they are now starting to promote it. They'll send me a permission-based email. I'm fine with Amazon because I'm a customer. And it says, hey, we notice you like this type of book. We wanted you to know that the author is going to be, you know, Q&A is going to be posted tonight. And if there's an hour where you can ask him directly questions, that kind of stuff. So that's just one example of how they're promoting the content on their site. There's loads of other ways. In other words, now you've done a video cast or a podcast on some kind of beauty treatment, and you go out and you start promoting that on some of the top blogs and sites, saying, hey, look, just wanted to let everybody know we went to the effort of building a site or a small podcast that you can download. You might find it really interesting. It happens to be with this expert on, you know, certain new skin cosmetic technologies, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really getting out there promoting. I think small businesses aren't using permission-based email enough. I'm amazed that, you know, I do all my banking online, and my bank has my email. It wouldn't now and then, not daily, but, you know, something that I might have of interest. They know I have a kid about college age. Maybe
right.
They want, you know, how about an email about, you know, good loan, deals for college. That's totally acceptable behavior, from a company. This isn't spam, you know, and so that's why I couldn't harp enough on small businesses saying that I said this before, it's a level playing field when we talk about promotion. You could be a really big company. You can be a one-person band. You have every right to promote your expertise. So do it in a thoughtful, transparent, and content-rich way, and you're going to attract a lot of people.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, too, because I like to share with people my thought that because of technology, an indie business owner has access to a lot of the exact same things that huge companies have access to, and that includes the traditional media because they all have newsletters, they may have a blog, they have these other tools, and we have them, too, and they're practically free.
Totally. And, you know, to add on to that is that if your small business owners understand, I mean, we all have our favorite sort of store. You know, it might be a chain store, but usually there's that one local store in the town square, or there's some place we just feel good in, you know, and you like to go. You aren't necessarily going to buy anything, but you usually do end up buying something because you like going there. And it's this feeling, it's almost physical when you go into that great bookstore, that great, you know, singular clothing store. That's the same thing we have to feel online, believe it or not. And the technologies are going to allow for this creation of environments that are attractive to people, that we want to go there. We want to share our opinions. We want to see what's new, whether we buy something or not. And that's where commerce is going to be going.
And it, as you say in your book, it's already there, even though maybe in its infancy. And one thing you just said I want to pick up on that I thought was such a good way to put it is that people are looking for a good feeling. So if your business needs to be able to evoke an experience and an emotion to get people involved, is that a good way to summarize?
Absolutely, and we are moving into the phase of the web, you know, and, you know, sorry to be a little scientific about this, but we're moving into a phase where the things like broadband and what's called rich media, which is, you know, interactive video, and that there's going to be far less text online. And what it's going to be is, or what it's going to allow, is an opportunity to create these kinds of good-feeling environments that have loads of information, that have entertainment, and so the commerce becomes, you know, almost a digital version of the Apple stores. At least I have a lot of friends that love going into the Apple stores, and they just can spend 2 hours there. But, you know, it's the same thing you'll be able to do online to create that unique feeling of attracting customers, you know, in an environmental and experiential way.
And your last but not least step, last of your seven steps to building customer communities, is to improve the community's business. So once you get all this done, you can't just sit back and say, I'm done.
No, you know, because it's not a noun anymore, you know.
Right.
You know, business and marketing has become a verb, and, you know, so you have to be constantly improving. And what's cool about it is your customers will help you improve your own site.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, they'll if you're watching and they don't like the content, the Q&As or these videos, but they like this specific type of video of how to put on your makeup or whatever, then they're going to tell you, hey, we like that and we'd like more of that. So you start doing more of that and you start making the site better and better. Much like my Amazon example, they now have an environment that's only going to get richer with media and better, and the actual users like me are saying, you know what, I want more discussion with business writers, or I want less discussion with fiction writers. And, you know, so the sites are going to become micro-segmented to have, you know, places of interest. You're going to make the content better, you know, richer, and the experience even better. So, you know, it's no different than real life, where you want to keep improving your store's performance or your business's performance by getting closer and closer to your customer. And that's what the social media is really going to allow.
Now, Larry, what have been your favorite social media outlets?
Well, I regret, some of them have regrettable names, but I like the blog Boing Boing. I think it probably could be the next New York Times, you know, for a new generation. I think it's a terrific short posting blog of a variety of categories. Let's see. I think Twitter's fun, and I do it a little bit, but when I started, I got so many, and it took up so much time that it was a little difficult to keep going. I really like BlogHers, I've mentioned before. I really like a site called expotv.com that I think your listeners would love, because what they do is they let people post their own reviews of products. And it's sort of like YouTube marries Consumer Reports. And then the whole community votes on the best review of, say, an HDTV or an iPod or whatever. So it's this combination of social and reviewing and comment and direction. I like that. Let's see. More and more like Wikipedia. I think Wikipedia is becoming a very cool site. If your listeners don't know it, it's the constant information flow and editing of an encyclopedia of things, from people to countries to a variety of topics, and people go, well, how do you know it's valid? And I go, with 4 million people checking out the facts, I think it's going to be pretty accurate.
And that's really neat, too, because it's constantly a work in progress, and the entire community of the world gets to participate. And that's sort of what we're talking about in a more of a microcosm around your business, right? You create the tools that allow people to communicate with each other around the topic that your business and your passion is.
Absolutely. And we're only, again, we're only in inning one or two of this, and we haven't even started to see things like loyalty come into to the social web. Like, I'm surprised a site as big and popular as Facebook, you know, it keeps experimenting with what I call the old way of marketing. So, you know, intrusive ads, where why wouldn't you just have Facebook points where, you know, the longer you're on and the company wants to give you points, it's not intrusive and you can use them to buy things later. And so I think, you know, there's going to be layers of other types of things once you get these environments created, these businesses outreaching, constant interaction with your customers. There's going to be loads of stuff that you can do to even make it better.
Now, Larry, I would imagine that there may be some indie business owners out there, particularly ones who haven't been in business very long and maybe aren't as familiar with some of these outlets that you're talking about, who are thinking, oh, my goodness, how could I ever harness all of this energy and fabulous stuff around my business? What's your advice to someone who may feel a little overwhelmed by all of this?
Well, first thing is don't feel overwhelmed. I know that's easy for me to say, but once you get understand this, it's very common sense. This isn't like this tsunami of information that's just going to, you know, flatten you. And, you know, if you go to the places you're interested in, there's more and more measurement of the popularity of specific sites and interaction between people. I think you can also start very slow. I mean, there is a couple sites, I just came back from South Africa, and there's a couple women in the Soweto area that have just a very small site. They're not complicated, and talk about the dyeing of their DYE, of their materials, how they do it, where they go, and they're very popular sites. And then you can buy their tablecloths or their napkins and things. And this is not complex at all. This is a very, very easy, small way to start, and I think that can be done by most people. You know, so again, it's don't be overwhelmed. It's definitely here. It's here to stay, and it actually is going to make your life easier, because you're going to be able to, if you do this even half right, you're going to attract the kinds of customers that are going to keep coming back.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that word of encouragement. It's a perfect way to top off a wonderful show today with my guest, Larry Weber, the social media expert and the author of Marketing to the Social Web, How Digital Customer Communities Build Your Business. Larry, tell us how we can get in touch with you and find out more, buy your book, and hear about maybe where you're going to be speaking soon.
Right. Well, any questions you might have, you know, you can always just go to the site for the book, marketingtothesocialweb.com, and okay, you can get in touch with me, or you can go to digitalinfluence.com, which always has where I'm speaking and where I'm headed to or talking. And then lastly, obviously, I encourage everybody, even though I love Amazon, you can buy the book there, but there's loads of other outlets, even in the non-digital world, to go to your local bookstore and order it just to keep local commerce going, or smaller online sites. But I encourage people to get it, and if you have questions, let me know.
Fabulous, Larry. Thank you so much for joining. It's been such a pleasure to have you. I want you guys out there in Indie Business Radio land to know that I am on the hunt for people that you want to meet. Who would you like for me to have on Indie Business Radio? What authors, what knowledgeable experts in different areas are you interested in? All you have to do is email me at info@indiebusinessradio.com. Your wish is my command. I want to get the people on this show that you think will help you grow your business. I am off to the beach, but I am still going to be available. You all have my email address. You know how to reach me at indiebusinessblog.com, and you know how to reach me at indiebeauty.com and all the other places that I've set up, according to Larry's advice and some other good advice I've gotten over the years, for communities that you can reach out to me as well as to each other. I'm going to be setting up a show for next week. I'm not quite done yet, but I've got some great guests coming up. I encourage you to visit indiebusinessradio.com, where you can download or stream hundreds of radio shows that I have done over the years with great experts just like Larry Weber on our show today. I'll see you next week here, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern on IndieBusinessRadio.com. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.